Welcome to Geekers Creepers, a special podcast where we review and talk about the HBO's Last of Us. And this time we're going to be talking about The Last of Us Episode 5, which came out on Friday to make room for the superb Owl that'll be showing later on today. And we have, as usual, our other host. Oh, let me introduce myself. I am Rob, and we have Eddie Spaghetti. How's it going, Ed?
Doing well, sir.
And we are joined once again, well, first time for The Last of Us, but not a stranger. She's usually on our regular podcast, and it is Kelly Kapowski. How's it going, Kelly?
Hey, happy weekend, everybody. Thank you for having me on Last of Us podcast version.
And so for this episode, we are pretty much going to leave it to Ed and Kelly to guide us along. I am going to keep quiet and I'll jump in here and there. It'll be nice. I'll finally be able to kind of chill out and give my opinions as we go along. So,
well, I hopefully you can help us out with. I didn't play the game, so hopefully you can help us out.
That's
with,
right. I will jump in those that. Areas because, and I should mention this. I keep forgetting. Thanks, Ed, for bringing this up. The great thing about this podcast is this is one of my top games of all time. This Last of Us 1 and Last of Us 2, top games. If you listen to the older versions of Geekers Creepers, I talk about The Last of Us 2 and how much like it's probably one of my top three favorite games. Last of Us, the first one, probably top 10. But neither Eddie or Kelly have ever played the game. So for them, they're going into this kind of fresh and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. I will not, when I talk about the game compared to the TV show, I will not, just heads up for our listeners, I will not give any spoilers in future episodes, but I will kind of compare how the two align. So with that said, Kelly, take it away.
Okay, so this episode, episode 5, takes us to very Lord of the Flies. Like, they are torturing the Fedra people. They're hanging them. It's showing it. It's showing, like, writhing people. They're shooting nails into them. I mean, it's very, like, intense torture of the people who they believe are, like, the opposition, right? So there's chance. I mean, it's very mob Lord of the Flies mentality, if you've ever read the book. Like, it's weird. It's intense.
Yeah. Didn't read the book, but I did see the movie, which, I don't know, probably did a little bit of justice. But, I definitely got that vibe, too. Definitely see that.
Yeah, and I believe we skipped, what is it? I think this is 10 months before the ending of episode 4, correct? We skipped about 10 months beforehand.
I think so.
Or is it or is it 10 days?
They skip forward something.
Yeah. So all that is taking place.
Like 10 years.
Okay.
Because Fedra has been wiped out. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's how this faction has been set up, is because
Fedra specifically is knocked out in Kansas City.
Yes.
I
believe it's a fast forward of 10 years.
Okay.
So it starts off very intense. They're hanging, writhing people, burning them over a fire at the same time. Like, it's the worst thing you could imagine as torture. And you think, these are the people that we're supposed to be rooting for. You know? Yep. Like, these are the freedom fighters, right?
Right. Correct. Yep.
And it really sets the tone for, like, what is this? Like, what WTF is going on, man?
Well, it's definitely a counter-revolution.
Yeah. For the people who are supposed to be, like, the righteous, right? Like, we're having hanging people on a pole above a fire while they're writhing and shooting nails into them. Like, dude, I'm not sure I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of like, I don't know if, Kelly, I don't know if you're a Star Wars person. Have you ever watched the movies?
No.
Okay, so in Star Wars, you know, you've got the Rebels and you've got is it the Alliance or who's the other side, Ed? The Empire? And you've got the Rebels. And the whole thing is, like, once the Rebels win, everything will be great. And so it's very optimistic. But when you think about it, it would probably turn into the same situation like this. It's like, once you get the power, you know, then you start treating the people the way that, you know, it's not going to change. It's just you're handing power over to somebody else. It's it's great in theory, but it's a vicious circle. You know, you just do the same thing.
They did exactly what they hated the people for doing to them. They did the same thing.
Well, it's just like, it's kind of like the, you could say it's like the French Revolution, you know, at the kind of like in the beginning and even maybe until the tail end of it. Like it wasn't pretty. I mean, it was a lot of cleansing. It was definitely a lot of, definitely a lot of, all right, time to get back, you know, payback time, you know, you definitely got it. Now, it's from the sounds of it, it seems like Fedra was not operating, at least in Kansas City, at least the way they were saying it was, it had a special term. It was called Killer City, right?
It
was
totally. Yes. Yeah. It was notorious,
so
they said.
They said notorious. So instead of KC stands for Killer City, not Kansas City.
Yes,
Which was kind of like, I'm like, all right, well, I guess, but but on the other hand, I guess this, as much as we not like to admit it, but it's probably, you know, in situations like that, that's probably what happens and things like when things like this happen.
So let's talk about the beginning. So the beginning is it opens with the torture, right?
Okay.
So then immediately after that, we're greeted with the use of ASL, American Sign Language, mm-hmm. between a man, Henry, who we kind of assume, and his son, Sam,
It's his little brother.
Was his son.
Little brother.
So yeah. I will say this real quick. Henry and Sam are in the game. And they are not a big section, but a decent part of the game. And it's the same situation. It's Henry and Sam in the game. Sam is older. I believe Sam is about 13. He speaks, and him and Ellie have more of a camaraderie in the game. They kind of, for a while, I was thinking, oh, you know, are they going to kind of create some type of, you know, like a young blossoming relationship between Ellie and Sam, as we learn later on, no, they're not. And they really can't, because Ellie's, Sam is not Ellie's type. But we learn that, and you'll learn that later on. Again, I don't want to, I shouldn't even have said that, because that's kind of.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We'll leave it at that. We'll learn later. You do have this, that they do exist in the game. And also you meet them in different circumstances. The whole rebels or what are they called? The one that Kathleen is in charge of, the Freedom Fighters, they don't exist. They're all just marauders. They're all just random people, you know, living on the edge of society. So that whole storyline is new to the show. Henry and Sam, I believe you meet them because they're making a run from... They had a camp and they stole some stuff from a separate camp, and there was a shootout. They made a run for it. They're being chased by them, and that's how they run into Joel. And
are you talking about the video game version? The
video game.
You're talking the video. Yeah. Okay.
So that's how you run into them. So it's a totally different storyline. The storyline with Henry and Sam now is the one we know is new to the show. But go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. All right. So next, after we are introduced to the sign language between Henry and Sam, and we realize one of the two of them is deaf. I would guess the coincidence of having them both deaf is rare. So I think one of them is deaf and one of them is hearing, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't know which is which immediately. You're like, who's signing to who? You're not signing to, right? Which I love, because it's like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, amongst hearing people, it's very interesting. Anyway, so we are immediately introduced to Kathleen, who is the dictator. She becomes a dictator. The freedom movement of we are fighting for freedom, we're freedom fighters, have turned into, they have a dictator, which is hilarious.
And so this is something we talked about last week, and my opinion of Kathleen hasn't changed.
This is the thing. So it's for me, I'm just kind of, this is kind of like kind of the debate. Like, is it good that she's like the way she is, or is it kind of like, this is not really, this didn't really work for me. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, no offense, it just didn't work for me. She seems like one of two types of people. She's either a Denny's waitress that that finally, you know, finally got thrown into this situation, and this is her revenge, or she's like a wife, or like Henry, or Henry's like a, or Henry, she's like a librarian, and like Henry's like that trouble kid, or that kid that didn't return a book, and she's out for blood. And I'm just like, well, maybe you know, these are like real people that you're going to meet in your life. But like, in all honesty, like, I was just, I still had a problem with that. You know, I didn't expect, you don't expect her to be like this vengeful human being. But anyways, I'll turn it to you, Rob.
No, I think the actress, I believe his name, Melanie Linsky. Yeah. And she's a great actress. I've seen her in a bunch of stuff. And it's nothing against her acting ability, because she's done really good stuff. But I think you're absolutely right.
In New Zealand too. Mm-hmm. She's not an American, so she definitely tricked me with the accent.
It's just, you're absolutely right. The way they created her character in the show, they talk about it, but they don't show you. How did she become the leader of this rebel? You know, this person that took down Fedra. What?
Her family. It was a family endeavor. It was her brother. It was her son. It was her. I mean, like, they all.
But do you remember, like, the brother? Like, there's that one scene where the guy's like, "Your brother didn't do anything. You're the one that."
Let's go in chronological.
Okay, we'll go in order. But just for me, I agree with Ed. My opinion still hasn't changed. But as we go along, I'll continue to add why it hasn't. Ooh, you're drinking a LaCroix too.
A little bit. Okay, so let's talk about the next part.
Bubbly is my brand.
Oh, I love Bubbly. Sponsorship yet? Are we going for
that? I think we should. Right?
The next part, after we are introduced that one of them is no hearing, we start to see that they are hiding in an attic. Mm-hmm. With a Jewish person, Mr. Edelstein.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that.
So let's talk about how this is very reminiscent of World War II, mm-hmm. Anne Frank hiding in an attic, Jewish person, Black American.
I did not think about that. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Huh. That's the first time you brought that up. That's the first time I've heard that. That is crazy.
There are so many immediate representations of what's going on right there. And the relationship between Black Americans and Jews in America throughout history.
That is crazy. I did not think about that at all. Because that would make these rebellions kind of like the Nazis.
It is repeating history. 100% in a dictatorship in America.
That kind of changes things up a bit, the way I kind of look at it. Yeah.
A little bit. Definitely a little bit. Well, I mean, that wasn't so much the issue. But for me, it was.
But the parallels.
Yeah. The parallels are. Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. Yeah.
So the little boy is in the attic asking, will Mr. Edelstein, when is he coming back? Is he coming back? Right? We need food. He's bringing us food when he comes back. Is he coming back? And his dad said he's dead. They killed him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was definitely, it was definitely that scene, like, where, you know, like, when he finally just, he's probably dead. And it's like eventually, you know, kids got to grow up, but it's just like kind of like heartbreaking. This child is
perfect dead. That's exactly it. Because at that end scene, he paints his face. He said, your boyhood is gone. Mm-hmm. It was his last attempt of, like, your childhood, I can't protect you anymore. You're the superhero of your own story.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Yeah, I didn't really read into that much, you know. But,
yeah, me neither. Right. Like,
he goes, you know what? Now I need you to be, you can't be a boy anymore. You have to work on this with me.
Remember, in that same vein, he says, to take out the gun, remember? Because he had a weapon after that.
Right. And not just play around with it, but, you know, be serious with it.
Because he showed him, he said, hold it higher. Hold it higher. Yeah. That was a real...
And that's parallel to the previous one where Joel teaches Ellie how to properly hold the gun, you know, definitely okay. So there are parallels with that too, and throughout it. But anyways, I'm sorry.
All right. So after they start, then they start to creep up into where they're starting to meet our main characters. Right.
Yep. And I guess, but they had found him because of the shootout that Ellie and Joel had.
Yes.
So the shootout from the previous season, it turns out that Henry had watched that happen and pretty much followed Ellie and Joel to where they were camping out for the night because he had the idea that I'm going to talk to this guy and he's going to help us cross over so we can save ourselves.
Correct. Yes.
Again, different than the game. I do want to, in the game, Ellie and Joel accidentally climb into the same room where Henry and Sam are at, and that's how they kind of run into each other. So that's just a little bit different. But I do like this way a little better. It's not just like, you know, it just happened out of nowhere. This way, I like the way they meet in the show better.
Okay, so they trust each other. They end up working together, right? Mm-hmm. Let's fast forward a little bit. Let's talk about how they're – drawings and communications eventually lead to the Underground Railroad, the tunnel system in America. Yeah. Guys, I didn't even think about that either.
Jesus,
guys,
I'm comparing the show to Star Wars, and both of you guys are bringing up history.
America in a dictatorship, guys. Mm-hmm. We have people escaping a dictatorship in America. What do they use? The motherfucking Underground Railroad.
All right, I'm gonna have to end
this. This is America. This is America.
This is after one viewing of this? Man, I.
Yeah, I know all this stuff. I'm just like,
let's make this go viral. I have some points on this episode.
Oh my gosh! Well, I'm glad you're here with us. This is great. We definitely need.
Eddie and I would have just been complaining about this episode the entire way.
Damn that, Catherine! God,
I'm done.
This is over.
So six, not episode. No. All right, so this underground scene also takes place in the video game. Now, if you remember, do you remember that when they go into that little room that's the like the schoolhouse, the
right,
the little like kindergarten area? So that's like also in the game. The painting on the walls in the game, and then there is, you see a sign or a like a drawing that says like Donnie and Ish are protectors. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah.
In the game?
No, in the show. No,
it's in the show. I do remember seeing that. Okay. It was like very brief.
It's very brief. So what happens is in the game, there's a character called Ish, which you don't ever meet. You pick up notes about his story, and he got, I believe earlier in the game, he gets stranded on a ship. You pick up a note where he's got a journal, and he ends up goes underground. And ends up coming above ground to pick up stuff and meets a family. And pretty much he begins a society, an underground society. He's like a good person. He's a protector. And you never, all you do is get all these notes, that these journal notes he's left
behind.
He's
coming back. What? He's going to be in the show.
Oh, no. Ish. Well, possibly.
Yeah.
The reason is because in the game, like, it's left open-ended. You don't know what happens, but you know that, like, he tried to protect the people, but they were attacked by zombies while they were living underground. And now
our main characters are underground. All of a sudden, we're not going to meet Ish.
I don't, in the game.
We are meeting Ish.
In the game, you realize he's like a good person that ended up just kind of like, you're to assume that he died. You know, he became a good person, but never accomplished, like, he, he couldn't protect everybody. So it's kind of left open-ended. I don't think you ever learn what happens to Ish, but it's really cool. Like, you learn his story, not by telling you or not by seeing it, but by these little notes left behind. So I really like the fact that they gave a little shout out to that character, because like, they didn't have to, but it's such a, when you play the game, he's such a big part of the game just by the stuff you learn.
So can we move forward a little bit in the plot of the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So they go underground. And what do they go into? A children's playroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very bizarre. An underground, what we learn was an underground settlement where people had run to escape the infection and had children, a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they made these rooms, or this big room, into a child center, basically, like a kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to them, we assume, is that they turned into the mushroom heads,
mm-hmm.
zombies, that they got attacked. And they're so our main characters are then, our main characters are then like starting to bond in that room over that, like, these two men have two children or young people that they're like trying to save, right? So these two guys are like, all right, we're gonna do this, we're as best as we can, right? And I think that's what makes what happens later harder on Joel, because it was at that moment those two guys were like, we're doing the same thing here, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, we're not just on our own. Like, we've got a little, like, somebody that's dependent on us to save them. And if we don't, they die. Like, that's
well, just prior to that, it was definitely, Joel was even, he found out a little bit more about what type of person Henry was. And you could see, he's just like, yeah, he goes, no, you're a rat. You're mm-hmm. And he was definitely not convinced of, even up until maybe even that point, to help out, to have Henry, to work with Henry on anything. So you could tell he was definitely still skeptical on Henry's story, or helping out Henry when Henry revealed, his story. But then I think once he gets to the, once they realize, they're both in the same boat, they made different choices, but they're both in the same boat still. So it's
interesting. What this episode should have been called.
Okay, what should it be called?
Should have been called, in my opinion, A Trade for a Trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because what did Henry do? He made a trade mm-hmm. for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost, mm-hmm. in the end we'll get to, but like
mm-hmm.
he made a big trade for a big trade. And that is what Joel was like, that is the cementing block between the two of those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
He said, would you mm-hmm. have done what I did? Would you have made a bigger trade for a bigger trade as I mm-hmm. did? Because he made his life. He traded his own, basically. He was going to get murdered. He traded his life to try to save Sam. And he said, would you have done the same? Am I wrong? And Joel says, I would have done the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I think that's really the moment where this episode should have been called A Trade for a Trade.
And I think I was watching another video, and I want to point out that I didn't realize this, and I'm going to keep an eye out, but there's a part where Joel has his arms crossed and he sees Ellie and Sam like playing around, and he kind of looks down and he looks at his watch and he looks back at Ellie, and I'm like, oh, that's right. So his watch, the one he has, is the one his daughter gave to him. So it's kind of like he looks down and he remembers, it's him remembering his daughter, what she gave him, and then looking at Ellie. And you're right. You start to see that bond. You're like, he starts to say, like, I think in these episodes, the one good thing is he's starting to see Ellie more like his daughter. I mean, they kind of joke around. Even if we go back just a little bit, but like when Henry and Sam show up and they have the gun on Ellie and Joel, like, I think, like, Joel is real snarky. Like, he's really like mean. And he's just saying, what does Ellie say? He's like, no, he's just, this is his personality. He's a,
He has a dick voice or whatever. He has asshole voice.
And I'm just like, I was cracking up. And then even after that, he responds and it's the same way. And it's like her being like, no, this is, or she's like, she'll convince Joel into like by asking over and over again. You're seeing like a father-daughter relationship, which will be very important later on in the game or in the Well, both in the game and in the show. But go ahead, Kelly.
So let's continue. So after we start to understand like what brought Henry and Sam to meet Joel and his friend, there we meet Kathleen and talk about a lot of Kathleen's, where she comes from. How did she rise to be? You know, like, who is she? We know her son was the one who got murdered, Brian. We heard that was the one that Joel shot. Remember, he's like, please, I have a mom, her cat, is her name's Kathleen?
No, I don't, that's not her son, is it?
Yes, that's Brian.
Yes,
that's
it was. Yeah, that was Brian.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when Joel did that, he sealed his fate. And he sealed his fate long ago in the city, Kansas City. He can't stay. He knows it. So that was Kathleen's son, Brian. But Kathleen also has a very, what we learned to be, a powerful brother. Mm-hmm. The whole reason she's anything is because she's part of this family that her brother is notorious in. And at the end of his life, ironically, he says, we have to forgive. He said, forgive Henry. He said, don't do it. Sure. It's, you have to forgive. And he's dying. He dies. Kathleen says, never mind what you said, bro, even though I love you. And she said, we're hunting him down and killing him. And kills everybody in his path. So she's in this childhood bedroom crying to her first mate or whatever. What is that guy? Who is that guy?
He seems like to be like a, like the commander of the army. Like, so he's like a, he's like her, her chief of staff type thing. Or her,
yeah.
Her,
like just looking commander. At him. Yeah. Just yeah, like, yeah. She's like, oh, my childhood. And he's just like, ma'am.
If I could stop for a second. I don't see how his name was Perry, I believe.
Perry,
the second in command. And in all honesty, it's just like, you could, man, like, it just seems odd that someone like Perry seems like he's, you know, he's like a very competent, maybe mm-hmm. even like a, like an old police chief or,
totally.
Or like an old, or ex-mil, you know, definitely like an ex-military type. And it's just kind of like odd that, you know, maybe he's just so entrenched. He's like, well, no, I have to follow chain of command. And, you know, whatever she says goes. But it's just kind of, I guess. Oh, I just thought about this. Maybe he's an Eichmann, Kelly. He's Eichmann.
Maybe. Like, what is the representation? Like, what is
he? Well, he's just a, he's a not he's just a
foot soldier.
Remember,
right?
Eichmann was he was just following Hitler's commands, and that was the whole thing. Yeah, he's just a foot soldier, and you know I'm a soldier. I follow chain of command, and then that's it. Even though I'm pretty sure this is probably not the most wise thing to do. Not the right thing to do with where we're at right now. Yeah,
and it's this part right here where again. Like, I did not like Kathleen's character. She is, we don't know, how did she get into power? We're told that she helped with the revolution. But again, I'm looking at this character, like Eddie said, you know, like a librarian, she's soft-spoken. Like, how did she become the voice of the rebels?
I don't think any of that is true at all. I think she's making it seem like she's always just kept quiet. But she's always had that rage.
And you see it later on, but I just like, I wish. And so this, what they're doing right here in these two episodes is maybe a big problem in season 2, season 3. Because I'm not going to give any details, but in the video game, there is a character that became very divisive. And I absolutely love that game. I think they did that character justice, but a lot of people didn't like it because they never, you're hit with something right away without any backstory. And that's what I didn't like with this character. I'm like, where is the backstory? Why should I fear her? Why should the guy who always has that gun, you know, the Perry, why is he following orders? I mean, like, why does he just take her out and be like, I'm in command? There's more important things going on. There's underground. There's like there's that bubble that's about to burst, literally, of infected. And it's like, no, we have to go after Henry. Henry wants to be like, no, we don't. Leave Henry be. We got to take care of this because there's many, many people here who are going to die. And they're more important than this one person that killed your brother.
the scene where you know where she actually opens up, and that's where you're supposed to know it, and that just didn't even help. That just still didn't help me with when she's in their old childhood bedroom. Like it didn't help. It's still kind of like it didn't push her character.
What it was trying to do was show how different her and her brother were. Her brother was the leader of the resistance, and he was ended up at his dying breath being forgiving. And she was the other half that was like, I will never forgive the evil side, right? So they had the dichotomy. And the dichotomy was the good one died and the bad one lived.
And the bad one's also the one that causes the revolution. Because remember, like, the brother didn't do anything. He was kind of more tough, no action.
That's what they said.
Yeah. But all right, go ahead.
Let's continue on. So this is such a good part of the episode. So we have a conscience check with Joel, because they're in a shootout with a guy in a little house, or a big house, but like up high, shooting down at them behind a car, right? And he's like, I see the guy. I'm going to go around. I'm going to take him out. You guys just stay here. Joel goes up. Guy's sitting there. It's an old man. And he has his rifle out the window, like he was shooting at him because he was. And Joel said, put it down and we'll be good and I'll let you go. I'll give you a few minutes to run out. But please don't make me kill you. Please don't. He said, just put it down. And the guy turned and we hear boop, boop, boop. Took him out. He had to shoot the old man, bro. And Joel didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it.
Yeah. And then again, this is also out of the video game. The part where Joel is up on the shooting away at the people down below, but that we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I thought that was a good scene. I thought it showed that Joel, as tough and as mean as he might be, is willing to give people a chance. Especially, I mean, he was an older guy. He could have just put the gun down and just walked off, but no.
Well, I guess as I think about that scene, you could tell. Well, his job was only just to keep them, to stall them, just to keep them, and then that's why you see what is it, and I don't know, who knows? He's an old man. It's like, this is it. I'm done doing stuff like this.
Just to say, Ed, this goes again to show that Kathleen is a bad leader. Why did she put an old man out there to check over the spot? Like, I mean, put anyone else there. Know. Like, he couldn't shoot. Like, he kept missing him. There's like four people, and he misses him.
All right. Well, this is okay. So this is that Hollywood bad guy dilemma. It's just like, it's time. Just get, you want him dead, you just kill him right now. No. It had to be theatrical. It had to be dramatic.
Yeah.
She wanted to tie him up and put him into the aquarium with sharks or something. I don't know. Like, whatever it was. And anyways, my guess is the way they're going to get out of that is he's an old man. Well, they even said, oh, this guy's, Joel even said it, this guy's aim is for shit. And
he did.
And so basically the old man probably is just like, all right, this is my job. Catherine put me here just to do this, and kind of did its job. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He's probably sick. He's probably sick and tired of people telling him what to do. He doesn't want to deal with this anymore. So he turns the gun and takes a bullet from Joel.
Yeah.
So that's probably what that's all about. But yeah, you're right. It's just like, yeah, you know what, Catherine, you could have put someone up there a little bit more competent. But we went Hollywood.
Went to Hollywood. Yeah, right. I agree. Okay.
All right, so let's move forward. The trucks come busting in, boy. And the people come running out. We're like, goddamn, we're overwhelmed. However, Kathleen comes out in the front. She's like, I'm here, baby. And she's like, right here, Paul. He could have taken a clean shot at her head.
Mm-hmm.
He was right there. And I was like, why are you not immediately murdering this woman? She came out in the front of the brigade. Bro, take her out. It was killing me.
Also, I don't think Joel has ever met Kathleen. So he doesn't know. I mean, she's out in front, but I don't think he knows she's the leader, right? I don't think he's ever, up until this episode.
Right, yeah. I don't know.
But I think we forgot that he does shoot that one truck. Like, he does shoot the truck which runs into the house and catches on fire. And that leads to a big part.
Oh my God. But the fact that he did not immediately headshot her destroyed me. I was like, you're watching her for like 90 seconds, bro. And you could be taking a headshot for 90 seconds.
That's a good, definitely a little like, here's your chance, you know.
Yeah, like over and over again. I was like, take it.
Okay, now. Even better now. But no, he had to watch the truck, the monster truck show fall into the pit.
So the monster truck falls into the pit, right? And the clickers and all of the mushroom heads start climbing out.
Before that, because Eddie does make a good point too. Like, I think at that point, Kathleen also is like yelling at Henry. And she does pull that whole James Bond thing where she's talking to him. She's like, "Ed, I would have let you live, Henry, but kids have to die." Yeah, yeah, this long-winded thing.
Well, no, like, it's like you traded your brother for mine. And
kids have to die and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know,
kids die. You know, and whatever.
And again, it's okay. Like, well, just shoot the person. You know, just like if you want your revenge, just shoot him there. Then the truck overturns and whoop.
Yeah, it was a weird and long dialogue that was unnecessary because Joel could have just straight headshot her and immediately ended that. But like, she tries to do some moral thing where like, I'm only doing this because you hurt me and
justify.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's
No. So
we're not buying it.
Yeah, definitely. No. So at this point, I guess I have to ask you because I think I have to ask Rob now. With the truck going down, a massive people of infected come out,
mm-hmm.
and we get to see a whole bunch of different ones that we never saw. So now, I guess you have to ask in gameplay. There's clickers and then there's not clickers. Am I?
There's
not
bloaters. So there's yes.
Bloater. Bloater. Mm-hmm. But so
there are no kids. There are no kids in the one because there's a kid in this one. But yeah, there's the clickers. So what happens is in the game you have the people who are recently infected that can see, and they don't have the mushroom head. Then you got the clickers. Those become the mushroom head people, and the bloaters. Those are the ones that've been infected for so long. They just look like this. They're bloated. You know, they're just a big thing. But then they all run out, and that was so. I've heard it called that this episode was the most video gamey of all the episodes. I agree. There were so many things of this that was so video gamey, especially like all the zombies that come out, they start shooting at them.
Oh, not can we talk about that infected. For a second? Can we like start there?
Yeah.
Let's pick up where they come out of the hole.
Go ahead.
Okay, so they come out of the hole, and our boy Perry, our head of the army. Mm-hmm. His head ripped off, guys. It gets twisted off his body and thrown to the ground by who I call Big Boy.
That was a bloater. I had to do some research. A bloater. So finally, I got it.
So that happens in the game also. I don't think he gets his head ripped off. I think he grabs it from the jaw and the head and then splits it. Or the jaw. So it's in the game. That's how with the bloater, if you don't get the bloater and he attacks you, he gets in front of you. There's a cutscene where it shows him about to do that, and then I think it cuts off. But yeah, that was a very crazy call out to the game, which I'm like, ooh, I can't believe they showed it. But yeah,
that was very video game.
Poor Perry got jacked up.
Very Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Very Mortal Kombat ish.
Yes, and the one person who also questioned Kathleen. It was like, are you sure this is like the best call?
Mm-hmm.
Without, you know, really trying to insult her. He's like, you sure? You know, like over and over again. He's always like, you sure? You sure?
And even to his death, like he protected Kathleen. Like he's telling her, just run. And he's got her back.
It's sad. No, you know, fine. You know, the most competent person, but you know, he had his warrior code and, man, you know, quite the, in all honesty, a very underwhelming way to die.
In his character arc, like in the real world, he probably would have been like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody you could trust, you know, somebody you could depend on. And he got put in a position where he was defending somebody who didn't deserve it. And yeah, you kind of empathize for that a little bit.
Right.
So anyway, we could fast forward just a few seconds to Kathleen's.
But real quick, I did like that old scene, like with like all the infected. It was finally, it was kind of cool to see all these all the actual quote unquote zombies, you know, come out and finally do their thing. I thought it was different. It was a little cliche, you know. It's like a zombie movie, but still, like, it was kind of fun to see it for once. But go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, so yeah, just immediately after that, we see Perry get his head ripped off, jaw, whatever, you know, head mm-hmm. torn apart. Mm-hmm. It was fantastical, as if it were from a video game, which makes sense it was. And then Kathleen pulls the gun on the little boy, or Henry or the little boy, but somebody.
Yeah.
Both of them? Mm-hmm. All of them?
I think it was Sam, Henry, and Ellie.
Yeah, like all of them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, the kids, you don't deserve to live, just like she said earlier. Kids die, right? But then an infected immediately pounces upon her and like rips her apart. And it's so fantastical. Yeah.
And it's a kid infected too.
Oh, well,
it was a kid.
Yeah.
It was the kid infected that Ellie had to deal with initially. Mm-hmm. And then Joel couldn't hit inside the car. So that's kind of like, that was kind of ironic. Sometimes wow. kids die, but sometimes kids end up killing you. So
this whole scene, as much as I liked it, there was an issue I had with it. Do you guys know what Deus Ex Machina is with stories or books or, you know, just in general? Have you ever heard that?
God in the machine or whatever.
Yes. So okay. So to our listeners, what it is? It's like if there's like a situation, all of a sudden there's something that comes out of nowhere to save them, you know? So for example, Lord of the Rings is a perfect example where out of nowhere come the big eagles, which you've never heard of the entire, you know, throughout the entire story, somehow come the eagles to help save them. It's like, well, where were these eagles, you know, like two books ago or two movies ago? They could have just taken them straight to Mordor to drop off the ring. But in this one, it comes out of nowhere, the whole issue with the infected coming out. You know, or the little girl attacking Kathleen. It was put in there in such a way that I'm like, this is really coincidental. This is very just, and I get it. It's Hollywood and it's a show. But to me, that was kind of forced. It's like, we never knew there was anything in there. We knew there were zombies underground in the city itself. So I expect them to come out of there. So I thought that was a little tropey, but either way, I still enjoyed it. But go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. So Kathleen gets done and we see them find safety, but we learn very soon.
Sorry, Kelly, she gets two. So basically she gets two chances and, and then like the second chance, you know, it's like, all right, now it's my time just to pull the trigger. Nope.
Can't she's
just like, you don't, you're a bad person. You don't. Oh God.
Yep.
It's no, like, you're like, oh God. Like, you're like, all right. Just end her, like, and you're like, oh, thank you, kid. Thanks, kid. And it just ends her, and like, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kelly.
We hate Kathleen.
Oh my God.
No, you know what this episode should be so called? Why I hate Kathleen.
Why I hate
All right.
Oh, I hate that Kathleen. Sorry, go ahead. Kelly, I'm interrupting.
All right. Okay. So next thing is, we fast forward a little bit. We see the little boy has been bitten by infected folk,
mm-hmm.
his leg. And our girl, little girl who has the cure, maybe that's the whole reason this whole thing is happening, says, let me give you a little bit of my blood because I think it has something in it. And that's what they want. And I'm going to try to save you. Right? So mm-hmm. she cuts herself on the palm, puts her blood onto infected area of little boy, of Sam. And she's like, all right, we got this, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that so sweet?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time that she kind of like does, because she didn't do that for Tess, bro. She, I don't know if she just learned that maybe that was maybe what it was, or why she didn't do that to save Tess or try.
I think part of it was that, well, I think Tess and her weren't that close. Like at that point, she was still cargo. With Sam, Ellie forms a relationship in the game too. She forms a relationship with them where it's like, you know, she's like, she's starting to look at him like her younger brother in the show. Again, in the video game, it seems like it's a different relationship, but here it seems like it's her younger brother. And And she wants him to be better. And I honestly think that she thought that might help out. I don't think she was doing it just for show. Because, like, I mean, if you know that the person is going to turn into a clicker, you wouldn't, you know, stay in the same room as the person. And so, yeah. Now, in the game, it's Sam never tells her he's been bitten. In the game, you kind of see that he's been bitten, but he never says anything. And then also, he sleeps in a separate room. Ellie, Joel, and Henry are all sleeping in one room, and he's sleeping in a separate one. And when he turns, it's when he goes awake. She goes to wake him up in the morning, opens the door, and you know, he's now infected. But go ahead, Kelly. You can keep going. Okay. Well, unless, do you have something to say, Ed?
Oh, no. They're both sleeping in the same room, and, like, you know, she promises to stay awake, and then she wakes up, and then she sees him sitting there. So, and then,
which was very creepy at that point. Can I say something? In this, there's even a part, I think we skipped a little bit. It happens earlier where Joel kind of tells Henry, hey, look, if you want, we're going to be going to Wyoming. You can come with us.
Right. He never says that. No, it's the girl who's like, we're going to Wyoming.
No, no.
Might be walking. You might not want to come.
I believe Joel does tell him. Right.
He does eventually, but it was the girl that spilled the beans at first. He didn't want to tell him.
Yeah.
No, he didn't want. No, he was even up until then. So, so they finally get to the motel, and then finally, you know, he finally softens up. He's just like, well, you know, you got us this far, type thing. I guess you're trustworthy, and mm-hmm. I sympathize with you. So, you know, we're fine to continue on together. So he basically says, yeah, it's true. We're going to be going to Wyoming. You can come with us. You know, that type of deal. Yeah, but anyways.
And the reason I bring that up is because, like, I don't think he says that in the game. And in the book, or when I was watching the show, I'm like, oh, they might actually change this. Maybe Henry's or Sam's not going to be infected, and we're going to get, you know, more of Henry and Sam, which I'm like, that's kind of cool. I like that. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys know, but that the little boy actor, I wish I had his name, but the one that plays Sam, he actually is deaf in real life. So, like, they actually got somebody who could
they had an ESL coach. Actually, it was really cool. I'm having issues with HBO, just regular watching it on my TV, mm-hmm. but for some reason I can pull it off. I can pull off HBO. So I've been able to watch this twice. And then at the tail end of it, they have a really good segment. It's actually kind of what we're doing. We're going through the timeline. But anyways, they introduced the ESL coach, and it was really interesting, actually, watching that. One of those few times, actually. Enjoy watching stuff.
So I was not here on the other episodes. Did you guys talk about a non-gay actor playing a gay actor?
Oh, with Offerman in them?
Yes.
No, we didn't talk about that. We talked about how great that episode was. Like,
yeah, so when we talk about deaf actors playing deaf roles, let's talk about gay actors playing gay roles.
Okay? That's fine.
Right. Sure. So anyway, but I wasn't here for that.
Go ahead, but we keep going.
So that brings us to, like, pretty much the end, where we unfortunately see it's a terrible thing, but Henry shoots Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because he is attacking Ellie, and she, you know, she's begging for her life, and he shoots her, and then he shoots himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that brings us to the post episode 5.
Rough.
Well, no. Then we have the burial. They bury him, and that's I think at that scene you have was it Ellie leaves that the etch and sketch note stating mm-hmm. I'm sorry, and mm-hmm. And then you realize that she's seeing things a kid shouldn't see. You know, like everything she's going through, she's becoming more hardened, and
she's sorry she couldn't save him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's her life's purpose is that she's the cure. And the fact that she couldn't save him, what does that mean for
her? As the show comes along, I'm going to go more into detail about, you know, the cure, you know, quote unquote, because there's a lot of theories on that. So, all right. So, yeah, we get to the end. We see Joel and Ellie start walking their way to Wyoming.
Yeah.
After everything. So, overall, what did you guys... We still got to figure out a rating for our for this thing, but two pinkies. Kelly, what would you rate this episode out of 10?
All right. So I love the episode. I hate to like describe it this way, of the dual suicide of Offerman and his husband. Mm-hmm. That was my number one episode out of this entire series so far. That's,
Frank and Bill.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. When I think of this entire show, I think of that episode. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, how does this one rank against that? It's like 7.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to get one as good as that one. Yeah. And strangely enough, that whole episode, and real quick, and I'll get to you, but that whole episode, the Frank and Bill one, has absolutely nothing to do with the video game, except for the fact that Frank or Bill is in the video game for like a good segment. But his story, it's not different, but it doesn't go into his backstory. So that's really, like, in my opinion, the best episode of the series right now is still has very little to do with the game. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to compare to that one. I mean, this is, but 7, you give it a 7, Eddie?
Yeah, 7 is a good rating for this one. Episode 3 was definitely the best TV I think I've watched in a very long time. And what they pulled off with that one, I thought was very well done. Period. And yeah. And so far it's kind of like, I guess we're trying to see something like that. But even with all the Catherine thing, I guess maybe it was unavoidable. But on the other hand, 7 is pretty. This so far it's been pretty solid.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, yeah,
it was a solid episode.
I honestly think I would give it the same ranking. I think it's better than last week's episode. That was kind of maybe a 5. But with this episode, I think for me it drops down with the story, the Kathleen story. Again, nothing against the actress. I think she was just given a weak storyline. She's not given anything to show that, you know, why she's supposed to be, you know, as in the position of power that she's in. But I did like the Henry and the Henry Sam storyline. So yeah, I'm gonna give this one a 7.
So can I talk about that for a second about Kathleen?
Yeah, go ahead. So
it's kind of like Hitler. How did Hitler rise to power? That's always the question people ask, right? Like, how did he get there? He was charismatic. He was, people liked him. He was cute. Like, that's like Kathleen, right? Like, how did she get there? We ask ourselves the same question. What did she do to get there? How did she get there? It's just the same as Hitler, bro.
Yeah, but the one thing is, like, with that, well, we know, we have history records, like, how it happened. Now, be it, you know, we look at it, we're like, oh, these people were, you know, needing a savior, so they, you know, and I hate to use, Hitler wasn't a savior, but that was a mentality. And yes. So they went with him. But like, we know this because we've learned about it through history, like, you know, how they made that mistake. I kind of wish they would have given us something with Kathleen to say, well, this is the mistake they made, as opposed to telling us, because like, it just, and again, you know, I the actress is fantastic. She's been in a bunch of great shows. I just, for me, this episode, for her character, I'm like, I want to know, like, give me like 10 minutes of the revolution of what you did, you know, showing heroics that you did, something that you brought the people together. It doesn't, but for me, I can't make myself believe that. You know what? The Bill storyline, the Bill and Frank, they built that up. You learn from the beginning, you know, like how that love story is.
That is the Hitler story. He rose to power very quickly through very like small means. It was a mentality that he mass produced. It was that's how the people got convinced of his bullshit. And it happened very quickly and without any background.
Okay.
It was just this guy. It was, you know what I mean? Like, and that's Kathleen. She's just this lady. Like, who the f-? But she's cruel as hell. And that was Hitler. Cruel. And he was just came out of nowhere. His family was normal. They're like, everybody seems fine. He's good, right? Mm. No. Same with Kathleen. Oh, she had a good brother, good family. And she had a son. Like, she's good. No, she's not. No, she's cruel. And she murdered her own family doctor that delivered her baby and her. She murdered him. She shot him in the head. Right? Like, she did it. And she's cruel and brutal, just like Hitler. She is the Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so mm-hmm. wonderful to see her get immediately chomped down by one of those soldiers.
All right. So
anyway, have, sorry.
Yeah, so I guess we're going with the 7 out of 10 for all of us. Now, out of curiosity, where do you guys think this show's going to lead? I mean, we're, I think at this point, halfway through. We're, I'm not going to say if you're right or wrong, but you guys don't know the story of the game. Where do you guys see the show going for this season?
Probably just a final, like a very, I think it's coming up soon. He's probably going to meet up with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's probably going to be a choice between running with the fireflies or convincing his brother that they need to do their own thing and drop off Ellie. And that's probably going to be the dilemma that's going to be coming up probably shortly, maybe even the next episode.
So what I'm wondering, how do you think the show is going to end as far as with Ellie? Well, how do you guys, I'm just asking, I'm not going to get so if you're right or wrong or anything. I just kind of want to know from where you're at now and knowing like me knowing how it ends, where do you see it going with Ellie and them?
I think she has something. I don't know what though.
Okay.
I think it's going to be something where I hate saying this, but I have a feeling either Joel or Ellie are going to perish. But okay. I obviously am enjoying both of them, so I mm-hmm. really hope that's not the end. But if they do, they better do something good.
Yeah, I could see Joel being a heroic death at the end. I could see that.
Okay.
To save the cure.
Okay. I can't wait till we get to that point. So, all right, guys. thank you. And I don't mean that point. I'm not saying we're going to get to Joel, you know, dying or anything. I'm just like,
our minds going to be mushroomed?
But yeah, all right. Well, thank you so much for joining. I'm going to have this up today. Guys, to everyone out there listening, thank you so much for listening. Tell us what you thought about this episode. You can send us an email at geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com, or you can follow us at geekerscreepers. Kelly, thank you so much. Fantastic job hosting today. Actually made it a lot easier for me. I didn't have to.
You're going to be getting a run for your money here now, Rob.
I know. She's going to start up a new podcast, Creepers Geekers. but yeah, all right, guys. Well, thank you again. And any final parting words before we send it off?
Something before I start my own podcast, I'd like to say on behalf of Geekers Creepers today, live, laugh, creep. Thank you guys so much.
Awesome. Ed?
I couldn't say it better than myself. So, yes, looking forward to the next Geekers Creepers podcast.
All right. Fantastic, guys. Thank you so much. And until next time, I do wish you all the best in life, love, and gaming.
Good night, everybody.